Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Are You a Pilgrim?
God's grace and His mercy and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about pilgrims and about our identity as Christians as pilgrims going from this world to that which is to come. I want to ask, are you a pilgrim? And do you see yourself as a pilgrim? And do you hold fast to that identity as a pilgrim going through this life on your journey to the world to come? Or does that sort of just grow faint to you and you've sort of lost touch with that identity? Well, let's take a look today and see what God would teach us about that in His Word, that we might be refreshed in our identity as pilgrims going through this world to that which is to come through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be refreshed with a spirit of courage today and a spirit of a pilgrim's heart as we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So first of all, let's just, as we look at pilgrims, what is a pilgrim? Or what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
John Wayne.
John Wayne? Yeah, that's right. What did he say? Well, I'll tell you something, little pilgrim. All right, that was a good one. I think of the pilgrims from 1620 that came across on the Mayflower, you know, the big hats, the pilgrims. Of course, they were pilgrims because they left an old world, England, that was not being good to them, and they traveled across the raging Atlantic on a journey across a territory or a sea that they didn't belong to, but they crossed it in order to get to a place that was to be their new home, which was the world, the land of liberty, the United States, or America at the time, the colonies. And so what is a pilgrim? As someone who is a journeyman or a wayfarer, a traveler, someone who's a stranger in a particular land to which he doesn't belong, but passing through that land towards a great new destination for a holy purpose. So I want to ask, are you, as Christians, are we pilgrims? Have we set out from an old world, crossing the raging Atlantic, if you will, heading to a new country? Well, Israel of old in the Bible were certainly pilgrims. For see how God called them out to pilgrimage in the days of Moses. Remember, they were in an old country, an evil kingdom of Pharaoh. And they were slaves and in chains and in bonds there, under heavy taskmasters, a terrible old country. But we read here that God came to Moses and he told him, I've seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up, watch this, out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So did God call his people of old to pilgrimage out of an old country, Pharaoh, and that kingdom, into a wilderness journey where they went for 40 years, led by the Lord, across a country and a landscape that was not their real home, to attain to a promised land that would be their home, their new destination, the land of liberty and victory for the saints. So that was the Old Testament. Were they pilgrims? You tell me yes or no. Yes. Absolutely. God always calls his people out as pilgrims. And if they were pilgrims, guess what? You are far better. We are better pilgrims than they a million times over. For if they were called out of the old country of Egypt, slavery and bondage to an evil tyrant, we far more so. Who did we get called out of? Whose country is that? Satan's country, the devil's country. He's the greater Pharaoh, where we were in greater bondage. Because Jesus says, everyone who commits sin, that person is a slave. He's a slave to sin. And the slave does not continue in the house forever. The son, he continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And Jesus says of the Jews, you're of your father the devil. So we were all at one time of an old country, a very evil and forsaken and wicked land, the land of sin, death, and the devil. God, that's a true land, a true country. God came and delivered us out of that land and brought us into a journey in the wilderness. They went through a desert, Saudi Arabia, and its fiery serpents and scorpions and hardships. What's our wilderness that we pass through as pilgrim Christians?
TV.
Yeah, kind of the TV, because we're passing through this present world. With all of its wickedness and evils, we've come out of sin, death, and darkness, born again by Christ who came to die for us and set us free from the old country. We're on a wilderness journey through this life, through this, as the Bible calls it, this present evil age, the world that's in rebellion against God. We're strangers here on this earth, says the Bible. We don't belong here. We belong to a country above. Jesus says, I've called you out of the world to be my own, and therefore the world hates you. So we're passing through a terrific wilderness or a greater raging Atlantic Ocean to attain to a fresh new world. And what's that? Heaven, you could say, that's part of it, and the world to come. Because God says, I'm going to create for you and make for you a new heavens and a new earth. And as Peter says, one in which righteousness dwells. Think about that. The world that we're headed to is so far excellent beyond this world as to be beyond all comparison. God's called you out of an old country, sin, death, and the devil. You're crossing this wilderness of this world, this present life, where you're strangers and don't belong here because you're citizens of heaven, and you're headed for a glorious country that's over the horizon to which we hope to obtain as pilgrims at journey's end. And let's think about that place to which we're headed. Jesus says, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, etc. So Jesus talks about a new world. So say the words new world.
New world.
Is that where your destination is and your heart set? It's heaven, as you said first, because Paul says to depart from this body is to be at home with the Lord. So to depart and be with Christ, it's far better. So that's part of it, but it's not just getting to heaven. It's getting to the kingdom to come in the world to come, where God's going to give us also the earth, where heaven and earth basically come together. Because what does Jesus say? The meek shall inherit the earth. And the promise to Abraham, think about that in Romans 4, the promise to Abraham that he should, and to his descendants, that he should inherit the world, didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And so what did God promise to Abraham? Just a little patch of real estate in the Middle East? What did he promise him? The world. In the Greek, it's cosmos, everything. And God has promised you everything. If God didn't spare his own son, will he not also give us all things with him? He's planning, friends, you pilgrims, we are on a ship crossing the raging Atlantic. We're heading to a new country, and the new country is God's going to give you a new heavens and a new earth, where there's no more darkness, no more sin, no more decay, no more troubles, no more pain, but only glory and joy and crowns of gold and a seat with him on his throne and a seat at his table in glory and joy into eternity. That's where we as Christians are as pilgrims headed on the ship called the church across the Atlantic of this world, heading to the new world in Jesus Christ. That's our destination. So let me ask you again, are you pilgrims? Well, I'll tell you something, little pilgrim. on our journey there to this brand new glorious destination, it's not an easy journey there. There are a lot of dangers, just like the pilgrims crossing the raging Atlantic had to face storms and hardships and troubles. So our journey to that great new world is also fraught with many dangers. And let's consider some of the dangers that might assail us on the way. Because, you know, Israel, they were pilgrims. They came out of Egypt. They went through the wilderness towards the promised land, but not everybody got there, did they? Dangers assailed them, and some of them, many of them, turned aside from the pilgrim journey. For example, look at Israel of old. What was one of their problems? Well, they just shortly left Egypt. They're on their way. Numbers 11 says, the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. They're like, hey, we came out of Egypt for a great new life, and this is terrible. This is not happy and easy. They wept, and they said, oh, we remember the meats we used to eat, the fish in Egypt for nothing. We ate the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, but now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all to look at but this manna. So they were complained. I mean, it sounds like they're, forgive me, Bill, but Italians. You know, it's like, the onions, the garlic, ay! But you know what? They turned back in that case because of the hardships of the journey. Is our way towards the celestial city of God a hard path? Jesus says the way to hell is easy and the gate's wide and many go there too in that way. But the gate to the celestial city and the way there is hard. And those who find it are few, so strive to enter by the narrow door. We need to gird up our hearts as pilgrims and say, like John Wayne, I'm going there and, you know, nothing's going to stop me. I think John Wayne said that courage is not being afraid. It's about being afraid and saddling up anyway. That's what we got to do as Christians. Keep going forward. Don't let the hardships of the journey stop you. The second thing that stopped Israel, a lot of them, was because they heard that on the way there would be giants in their path. And so they turned back for fear. If you look over at Numbers, chapter 13, we read here in verse 31 and following, they said, you know, they sent spies up to the land. They came back and brought an evil report of the land. They told the people, the nations that we saw in the promised land, they're greater than we are. They're much stronger. And there we saw the Nephilim. Who's that? Giants. The sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. And they said, we can't go up and beat these guys. They're too big for us. And all the people said, they were afraid, and they said, let's choose a captain and go back. Go back. Go back to Egypt. I want to ask you, do we have giants to face on our way as we journey towards that celestial city? There are a lot of giants to stand in our way. Any adversity you face in life, any trouble, is that going to stop you? How about a lot of people these days feel like the deep state is up to no good, and the Bill Gateses of the world and the George Soroses of this world, they are great giants who stand in our way, wanting to turn many back for fear from the path of the pilgrim. Are they going to stop you? How about if the devil stands against you, or Apollyon, that foul fiend, that prince of darkness, the spirit. Is he going to stop you? No, we got a Christian's heart. We got a pilgrim's heart. We're going to plow through all those giants to the promised land as Israel did of old. But they were afraid and many turned back. We need to be sure we don't turn back for fear of the giants. Thirdly, what was another thing that stopped Israel from getting to the promised land? Many of them. Oh, this is really maybe the saddest one of all. Numbers 32. They get right to the edge of the promised land. They're running a 40-year race, and they're just at the cusp at the edge before they cross the ribbon of the Jordan River into their inheritance. And what does Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh say? They say to Moses, hey, you know, the land over here on this side of the Jordan, pretty nice, good place for our cattle. You know what? Numbers 32, we will not inherit with the rest of the tribes on the other side of the Jordan beyond, because our inheritance has come to us on this side of the Jordan to the east. Oh, what a total failure, you know? Because they're right there. Their inheritance is before them on the other side of the Jordan. But they took their inheritance east of Jordan. What's that mean for us? As we journey to that world which is to come, there's the temptation for us to seek our treasures, our pleasures, and our kingdom and our inheritance here in this world. Don't do it. This world, all of its pleasures are fleeting. They're going away. They're temporary. They're not here to be enjoyed forever, and they're sinful. Don't sell your inheritance on the other side of the Jordan to set up your residence here. We're just a passing through. We're strangers. We're exiles here. Seek the treasures of your home in the world to come. That's the heart of a pilgrim. So many of them, in those days, they turned back just before they got there, seeking their inheritance east of the Jordan. Does that happen to a lot of Christians today? Are people that have gone on the pilgrimage? They started great, just like Demas in the Bible. Paul and Demas were like tight. They were great pilgrims together. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, says Paul in one of his letters. In another one, Mark, Aristarchus, and Demas greet you. Demas is with me. We're tight. We're brothers. We're on the path as pilgrims together. Then you get to 2 Timothy 4. Paul has to say to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Oh, he took his inheritance east of the Jordan in this life, and so he failed to obtain the inheritance in the world to come. Which world are you living for, friends? You know, we can enjoy the things of this life. God gives us good things. Enjoy them with thanksgiving, but don't hold on to them. Don't set your heart on this world. Our inheritance is on the other side of the Jordan. When you die and get to the world to come, that is the forever kingdom. Set your heart only upon that one. And so there are all these things, hardship of the way, giants, and the delights of this world in our way, on the way to the celestial city, the kingdom of heaven to come. Are you tempted by any of these things? Sure. Yeah, you know, we all are. You know why? Because this world is a wilderness. It is the raging Atlantic. We're crossing a heavy sea on our way to the new bright destination. And, you know, there's going to be hardships. There are going to be many dangers because the Bible calls this world a present evil age. But are you going to have a heart of a pilgrim? God says, I've made you so. Continue on the journey with courage today, with zeal, and with great strength. Because why? Number one, God says to you, because I've called you to it. You didn't choose this journey. I chose this journey for you. And I'm your God. And I'll see that you, who began a good work, you're going to complete it. You're going to finish it. I will see to it. Think about this. You didn't choose this journey. God says, I chose you out of the world to be my own. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you, in fact, even before the foundation of the world for this journey. I destined you to be my sons through Jesus Christ and to obtaining of my kingdom that I've prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, God has called you to his own kingdom and glory. And on the way there through this great wilderness and the raging sea, he's given you his own spirit in your hearts as a guarantee and down payment of your inheritance on the other side of the Jordan until you attain it and acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So Jesus is the greater Joshua. You're Israel. You're going through the wilderness. Seek your inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, and he's there to see you through to make it to that place. Isn't that great? Remember also, for your encouragement today, that the land behind you ain't good. There's nothing good behind you for this in this world. Don't turn back to this sinful, sin-laden, evil, disastrous, demon-filled, infested, foul life of sin, that is, this old country. Remember, Pilgrim, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he left a city called the City of Destruction behind him to seek the Celestial Gate. Why would this be a city of destruction, this world? Because God's going to destroy it. It's doomed on account of its sins and evils. Jesus said, I testify of the world that its works are evil. It's a city in rebellion against the great king. And he's being very patient with the world, calling people to be saved in Jesus Christ. But as Peter says, by the same word that once deluged and drowned the world in the days of Noah, so by that same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire and the destruction of ungodly men. So why would you go back as a Christian? Why would you go back as a pilgrim? You know what's behind you? The city of destruction. There's nothing there. Why would you ever go back to the world and to its pleasures and sins? It's sort of like if you were on the Titanic. Picture yourselves on the Titanic right now. You're enjoying all the wonderful joys of the ship, and then it strikes an iceberg. The icy waters are gushing in. Let me ask you, at that point, are you going to go back to the salad bar and get some shrimp scampi and some veal medallions and play shuffleboard on the Lido deck? I don't think so. Where are you going? The lifeboats called Jesus Christ, and you're going to get on that, and what are you going to do? Forget the ship. Stick with the lifeboat. Cross the sea, and on that horizon, you see a light, the city of God. That's not far away. Continue on that. The land behind you, I tell you, is not good. It's not good. Don't go back there. And for the encouragement of your journey, if it seems hard and long, Israel turned back for that. Hey, how long is it, really, to get to the celestial city? How far is it for us? You know, God's made my days but a few handbreadths. You're here today, gone tomorrow. It's not very long life after all. And Paul says, this slight momentary affliction that you're presently experiencing is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So, as for hardships, don't worry about it. It's short. We're going to get there soon. Look to the reward. Secondly, as for the giants that we faced on the way there, are you going to be scared of the giants in the world, the deep state or the devil or adversities or such things? Are those going to scare you? God told his people in the old days when they heard about giants on the way there. He says, Deuteronomy 7, you shall not be afraid of them. Don't let yourself fear it. You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You shall remember that it's the Lord your God himself who goes with you in this journey. What's a giant to you? You got a giant of a God on your side. These guys are pipsqueaks. If you look at the deep state, the George Soroses, the troubles in the world, all the lockdowns, no problem for us. They're just giants that we slay along the way. Christian, when he was on his way to the celestial gate, he had to walk along the king's highway, and there stood Apollyon, a foul fiend, an evil demon, the prince of darkness, to withstand and stop Christian in his path. He says, Christian, I'll strike you down with my sword unless you turn, O pilgrim. Turn back to my country. What does Christian say? He says, Apollyon, you stand in the king's highway. You do well to look to yourself because I have a sword drawn in my hand called the word of God, the sword of the spirit, and I'm going to strike you down where you stand. David slew Goliath. We are giant slayers as Christians. They can't stand before you. God's on your side. Don't be afraid of giants, no matter what their name might be. As Joshua encouraged the people in the Old Testament to go up, so I say to you, these giants that you fear today, they're bread for us. They're bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord of hosts is with us. Do not fear them. That's a good word. I like it. And thirdly, think about this. Don't turn back from your pilgrim journey for an inheritance east of the Jordan. You know, there's nothing in this life. I mean, we can enjoy life as we go through it, don't get me wrong, with thanksgiving. But don't go after sin in that old country or the pleasures of this life. That's nothing compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Forget all that. Seek your inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, to which we're destined, on the other side of the sea, through the great wilderness, through this life, and you will land on that shore. And Jesus says, it's a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth can ever destroy. It's an eternal glory in the heavens and the world to come. And what is before you? It's a prize. It's a land. It's a city. It's a kingdom. It's crowns. It's glory. It's seeing God face to face. All the saints before us died in the faith waiting for this. They didn't receive what was promised, but they saw it and greeted it from afar, as if on the lifeboats in the early of the morning and or in the dark of the skies, and you see in the horizon there's a light shining, the city of God, and it's not far away. They acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, and they were seeking a homeland, a better country. And that's why God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them, and he's prepared for you a city. Are you excited to get there? Are you excited to get there?
Yes.
Come on, it's the new world. God says it's Mount Zion, the city of the living God, Isaiah 33. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, an immovable tent. The Lord in majesty will be there for us, a place of broad rivers and streams where the wolves shall lie down with a lamb, the leopard with a kid, and a little child shall lead them. The Lord will be our king. He will save us and set us on high in a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So I'll tell you something, little pilgrim. Saddle up with courage and don't let anything stop you. God's got great things before us. He's died for you already, saved your souls through faith in him, baptized you. He goes with you all the way to give you the victory. Christ always, God in Christ always leads us in triumph. And soon and very soon, says the Bible, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads as a crown. They shall see his face, reign forever and ever. And so I'll conclude with this word. If I were Joshua and you're Israel, let's say it this way. I will encourage you as he encouraged you. I have already spied out this land ahead of you. And I declare to you through this word, I have seen it, and it's an exceedingly good land. Let's go up and take it and go forward as pilgrims before the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Are You a Pilgrim? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Currently, we're covering the book of Revelation. However, this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday, we'll have a 7 a.m. Easter sunrise service with beautiful music on the beach along with the sermon that will be at Shepherd Park right at the end of 520 in Cocoa Beach, and then a 10 a.m. Easter service at the church. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. For more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Draw me close to you.